Hello, fans of the Hawk Talk podcast. Thanks again for joining us. As always, I'm not alone. I'm joined by our co-host, Pete. Pete, what's up?
Tony, feeling good. Frank Martin, what's up?
For those who don't know, this is the post-UMass podcast. The date is 1/23, and mark it in the books as, so far, one of the most exciting games of the season for the St. Joe's basketball men's team. It was a game of ups and downs, tons of offensive rebounds. We had Lynn Greer go down, only to come back and score the game-winning point off of his own miss. Of all the offensive rebounds we missed, the one that mattered most was the one that we got at the end of the game. Not to mention we had Kreese get injured. He was resurrected. He came back. He played hard. Fleming with extra fouls. Guess what? That didn't matter. He stayed in the game. Reynolds? Oh, I'm sorry. He's going to be mentioned fourth on our list. He only had a cool 31 points. And then the icing on the cake is Casper returns. Casper returns and brings doubt to all the haters, Pete, and really seals it off. He played a couple of minutes that mattered. Finkley did really great. There was a run at some point. How about the fact that this team was down like 11 points at one point in the second half? They fought all the way back on the road. This team is an absolute roller coaster. There were so many things going on in this game. As I said, the rebounding didn't feel that great for St. Joe's. It felt like throughout the entire game, and it is true, that we were constantly playing catch-up. And with the last remaining time, Eric Reynolds hits free throws when it mattered. Under a minute to go, he hits free throws. UMass scores again, and Lynn Greer scores for the Hawks. And the most baffling play of the entire game, UMass just throws the ball. They had a minute and a half. They had a second and a half on the clock. That's enough to get the ball, you know, to half court. To get off like a legitimate, you know, at least a legitimate tap, not a one-arm throw, baseball throw of the basketball. All of this to say, you know, we recorded before Duquesne. We said, what, Pete? This was the two most important games of the season, potentially. And St. Joe's, and this has been the theme throughout the entire Billy Lang career, just when you're ready to be down on them, they find a way to tease you, and they win a couple games, we're 500, and now I don't know where the hell we go from here. So that was a lot of words. That was pretty much the summary of the entire game. Again, for those who may have missed it, St. Joe's wins with 1 second left. They get that basket. They beat UMass 78-77, and now here we are looking at a cool 500 on the conference season.
Yeah, Tony, I've been following a lot of games in around the N10 this year. This has to be one of the most exciting games I've seen. St. Joe's down 13. At that point, it sort of felt like they were out of it and battled back hard to pull within one with, I don't know how much time was left on the clock, but it was a battle right towards the end there. Largest lead was 13, and Eric Reynolds personally willed himself and us back into that game. You know, Matt Cross, great player at one point, was pulling down boards, hurts his foot off of a random sort of defensive play. And then Lynn Greer, open layup on the other end, refs whistle, stop the clock. Lynn doesn't get his shot off. Later in the game, Lynn Greer, what was happening? Oh, yeah, Lynn Greer, the camera pans away from Lynn Greer at the top of the wing. And Matt Cross gets a lob from UMass. I think it was from Rashul Diggins. No stop and play there. Lynn Greer's down on the floor. And who hits the game winner, Tony? Lynn Greer the third. I mean, it's stuff like that. Like, that could have been the point in the game where St. Joe's folds in on itself and they feel like the tides have turned. Or when Xavier Brown, you know, goes for that and one layup, but it's called for a charge and goes the other way. These are points in the game that really mattered. And we responded quite well, and I couldn't be happier. I think this is one of those games on the road. We talked about this. We were 1-4 coming into this matchup. Win, big win. Big win, Tony.
And there's a lot of things that didn't go right, which we can harp on. And I think it's fair to say, like, way too many missed layups. Fouls were a problem. Defense was a problem. But great teams find a way that when all those things are going against them, they win. And that didn't happen against St. Louis. That didn't happen against, who was the other one? Why am I blanking so hard on the, against URI, right? These closer games. But it did tonight. And against a team that's better. So hopefully this means good things to come. They're you know, here's the problem. St. Joe's is about to come off of a, I'm not trying to distract us from tonight's win. I'm just saying, like, this is how important the win is. You know, we got to go to St. Bonaventure on Friday. Shout out our first Friday 10 game in a very long time, I think. So I'm excited for it. But heading into St. Bonaventure, it's what we talked about on the last podcast. We have to get to 500 because we're going to lose a couple of these games coming up. And I think a reasonable achievement for us is we're still trying to fight for some sort of advantageous bye in the A-10 tournament, right? So we got to play St. Bonaventure. That is no guarantee of a win. So winning against UMass on a Wednesday night on the road is a lot easier to do because you're going to catch the home team off guard to some degree. And it kind of went that way. UMass is actually a pretty good team watching them tonight. They play hard. And we snuck away with a win when things weren't going right. But we're going to look back after the St. Bonaventure. And then, you know, then we play George Mason, right? We're going to have to right the ship somehow against those teams. We're going to have to beat one. The next two games, we have to win one of the two, which is a hard task. Would have been really hard, almost impossible. We would have been in a Duquesne-like situation where you only have two wins and now you're up to like six A-10 losses. So it was a good win. It was a great win.
Yeah. It's interesting because it was a great win, but like you said and like we've said, it wasn't like their best game. They shot from the field really well, 47% from three and 47% overall from the field. But from the free throw line, we only shot 11 for 17. We were outright rebounded 40-33. And, you know, there were times in this game when it did not look good. Rashir Fleming, the entire first half of the game, no shot attempts. Casper didn't even play until the second half, but had some excellent minutes. Great energy with that reverse layup, a pretty crucial time going baseline, reverse lay. And then Sean Simmons, I thought, also played some great minutes for us too. A few easy missed layups throughout the game from us. From it felt like just about everyone, but it would be like whether it'd be Kreist or Rashir and just easy gimme layups. But still, pulled away.
Yep. Sorry, I don't mean to play that. I'm looking at the box scores on ESPN and then they start playing the videos immediately. Yeah, it was great. It was a great game. I'm trying to think of like some big highlight moments for me, right? We talked about like the final play, that was great. I think also Duquesne with a win tonight against St. Bonaventure. So that's interesting. But looking back, yeah, there was one play with what's his face with Kreist. It's not like the most electric play of the game, but he had that nice little no look pass against the zone coverage to find Simmons in the dunker spot. And that was just like one of those flashes where, of course, like it's not, you know, the star studded, you know, he wasn't scoring the last big play of the game, but that passing pedigree, man, it's just, I'm seeing more and more flashes of it. And it's like, that stuff even excites me more where it's like, he's really starting to look more comfortable. Not to cut myself short, not to cut Pete short, but halfway through the pod, we're doing this one take. We have not stopped recording. We got Matt Gifford on the line. Mr. Matt.
What's up?
Thanks for joining us.
I had to join tonight. I was like, you know what? Got to jump in. And here we go. Yeah, I mean, actually, this is the game ended, what, like 25 minutes ago? I'm just sort of recovering now, sort of gathering myself. I looked through everything, doing my box score dive, figuring what I'm going to write about. But yeah, no, super happy to join for a couple.
Yeah, well, the floor is yours. We were just recapping, you know, how important this win was heading into St. Bonaventure, George Mason, riding the ship, getting to 500. And when all things weren't going great, we still found a way to win. That's pretty much the summary of what we've said.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things, Tony, too. Like, I think I tweeted out after the last game where I was like, it at digging that 0-3 hole, there's just nothing you can do about it, right? Like there's nothing that can be done. So like I kind of look at a season now in just like little clips, right? So it's like this 3 games, this 4 games, and basically, Tony, I was like, if they can at the end of this month be 4-4, whether that means winning, I mean, my look at it was like win one of UMass or Bonaventure and then win against George Mason at home. Although, frankly, Mason's probably the best of those three teams, right? Although UMass is, I mean, let's be honest, like UMass looked really sloppy at the end of that game. That's not a bad, like, this is not the UMass team of last year.
No.
At all.
Yep.
Like, we've said, guys, that like St. Joe's is this or that away from being 5-1 or 6-0. But like UMass kind of is too. Like, there's a lot of teams that have lost a lot of really close games here, and that's not a bad UMass team. I thought Rasul Diggins was really good until he stopped being really good and started turning it over. Matt Cross, I hope that injury isn't horrible. I didn't love the way he was laying there. But he came back in, right? Or no?
I think he finished the game. Right?
Okay. I honestly don't know in the scope of everything else that was happening. And my problem too, guys, I end up watching these ESPN Plus games on my phone, which is like the worst way to watch a basketball game. But where was I? Yeah. So like if they could get to 4-4 by the end of January and you look at it like a clean slate, like they're 0-0, they're 4-4 with a 10 game season left and go from there. Tonight was massive though, to get that road win heading into a Bonaventure team that isn't, my gosh, I mean, I really thought we recorded stuff preseason, guys, and we were like, all right, top of the conference, Duquesne, St. Joe's, St. Bonaventure, Dayton, and one of those teams has held up, but three haven't. I never thought this Bonaventure team would struggle to score, and what was their final tonight?
Oh, I just had it up, just to confirm,
It was the pitcher's battle.
Wasn't it like 54-50 or something?
Yeah, hold on. I'm pulling it up. I wanted to confirm that Matt Cross did finish the game. He like made a dunk with like a minute to go or something like that. So he was in the game.
So his injury looked bad. And then Lynn, I mean, when they didn't like zoom in on Lynn and you just saw like a body on the floor, I was like, did somebody just like get their season ended?
Right.
Like, I like it, but I don't like it when the camera will like not pan in. Because, like, I love that from a respect standpoint. But also, I'm like, what in the world happened? Like, whose body is crumpled?
Yeah. Frank Martin had his hand on Greer's head. It was strange.
I know. I was like, did somebody just, like... I mean, your instant concern is head. And then after that, I'm like, did somebody's knee just blow out? And, like, that's the last thing any of these team needs is, like, on either end, right? Like, and that's what I thought with Cross, too. I was like, did his knee just buckle? But thank goodness both those guys seem to be okay.
Yeah, and the Duquesne score was 54-50. So it was pretty low scoring affair.
Yeah, so like all of a sudden, I mean, maybe you're in a spot where you suddenly feel like you can, maybe with some confidence from tonight, go out there and on a Friday night. That's an ESPN game, right? Like that's an ESPN
game.
Friday
10 game. It's our first one in a while.
Yeah, that's awesome. I mean, 3-3, you go in there. I mean, going down 13 tonight in the second half and finding a way to come back and win is massive. That place, at least on my phone, looked a little bit like a morgue tonight. So like, I mean, that's good and bad in my opinion. Like St. Joe's needed to create their own energy tonight. They will not have to create their own energy on a January night in Ole, like at Bonaventure on ESPN. Like that place is gonna be nuts.
Oh yeah.
I mean, I don't know. Like, I don't know what you guys think, but I think these last two, kind of finding a way to gut out close wins, it's stressful. But maybe it gives this, maybe this team needed after those three straight blown losses to be like, you know what, we can do the other. And we can actually win a close game too, not just blow a game.
Yeah, I think that's exactly, and I don't want to summarize too much because if you think about it, we're going to, you know, people who are listening, you're joining halfway through, but we pretty much just said the same thing, right?
Yeah, Yeah.
No, you're all good. But it's just this, it's the same thing where it's like, man, good teams, this is what great teams, this is what great teams do, right? And it didn't happen against URI, it didn't happen against St. Louis, and it was so funny because we had missed so many rebounds, but the one rebound that mattered most was the one at the end of the game, and you can't give up, and they didn't give up when they were down 10 points or whatever it was, They didn't give up when they were down one basket. You know, they kept playing to the end. And, you know, a guy who's quiet, not quieter, but not as flashy as Reynolds in Greer, who's really the floor general, takes matters into his own hands when it matters most.
You know, it's interesting, like that three-game skid coming back when Kreese came back against URI and things sort of went downhill for a bit. Last game after the game, the post-game conference, Billy was talking just about like this idea of having to play Kreese, like he needed to because of what he's capable of, and we've seen what he's capable of. And in the second half, I think they also looked good playing small. So it's like, for me, I just want to hear like how we calibrate ourselves and like how are we calibrating our expectations with Kreese as he continues to grow, because he is actively growing. Like there's still bad passes, there's still missed layups, but like at the same time, there's like points where I don't think he's guardable.
Yeah, I mean, he did some stuff in that Duquesne game, and Duquesne's big guy is like a big guy. Like he's not like super skilled, and I'm not going to say his name, but you know who I'm talking about, like the massive Duquesne guy. I mean, he made him look small, and he was doing stuff in that game. Like, I mean, Kreese's hands are so good. Like, and that's the thing where I know it's frustrating to watch. You're like, how is he missing these like chippies, these little like buckets in close? And I think I'd be more worried if it wasn't for the fact that he, like, his hands are great. They're not good. Like, he has great hands. Like, his catching the ball, his feel. I don't think his touch is horrible. I don't know how much of it is just like the nerves piece or just getting the game time. But yeah, I mean, the beginning of the second half, Finkley did like what? He made a catch and shoot three.
Yep.
And then he had like a really nice drive and finish. And then late in the game, I mean, I honestly thought that obviously the game winner was the biggest, Pete. But to me, kind of the first moment in this game where I was like, oh, they might win, was like late shot clock, bad possession where Rashier got the ball on the left wing, kind of like shot fake. Then I was like, oh, please don't shoot that. And he drove and he had just like a really pretty left-handed drive and finish. And I think that tied the game at that point. I guess with this team, you're going to live and die with the three at times. And I know Kreese can make it. I know Rashier can make it. I really like both those guys when they're driving. I really like Rashier driving the ball. And Pete, I like this. I think this team's just going to have to kind of like do everything. Like there are games they're going to have to win big. There's games they're going to have to win small. I do think they need to figure out, like, right, you're not talking about an at-large anymore unless this team were to go, how many games are left? 3-3, 12 games left. I mean, if they went like 10-2 or something like that and got themselves to 23, like, I wouldn't say there's no chance at them being an at-large team, but it would take something like outlandish. So to me, guys, I think the thing now is just like, what's your best lineup against each team? And I really think and hope that the coaching staff is like, all right, in Brooklyn, if we play Duquesne, this is the lineup. If we play Bonaventure, this is the lineup. And we get a couple cracks at some teams. And I mean, if I'm saying this sitting in my bed, I'm sure the coaching staff is saying the same thing. Like, it's all about like what lineups work, and really everything between now and March is about what can get you 3 or 4 wins and get you into the tournament that way.
Yep. And then getting your highest.
And Kreese will be a part of that. Like, Kreese is going to be a part of that. In what capacity? I don't know. In what capacity will Finkley play? In what capacity will those guys? I don't know. But like, it's all about finding the lineups. We know that it's going to be Eric, Lynn, X, Cam, and Rashier, like, in some capacity. It's where do those other guys fit in?
Yep.
I mean, that game against Duquesne was as dominant physically of a performance as I can recall since maybe Halil had some games where he just bullied people. But yeah, I mean, he's a monster.
Yeah. And the other thing is just playing for your best, highest seed so you can minimize the amount of games you have to play. Yeah. Right. That's the other thing. But it's exactly what you said. It's win what you can and get as high as you can from a seeding standpoint. And from there, it's just how do you play for the next 4 days in March? And that's what it's going to be. But the great thing is, I think the more these guys play these close games and win, and now I really have confidence. Like, we're down, you know, a basket with 5 seconds left. We have two guards who I know are going to make, or at least get close to making the big basket. We have those guys. And tonight proved it, at least for, you know, confirming that it's not only Reynolds, but Greer, you know. And it's so funny, I thought about this, so like, the UMass announcers are talking about, they're like, they're going to guard Reynolds, Reynolds is going to take the shot. They give the ball to Lynn, and here he goes, just charging right up the court, like, of course we're not going to do exactly what you thought we were going to do. Instead, we're going to show you that this other guy is just as capable of making the big basket.
And Tony, just a quick little note here. One of the biggest criticism, I think, that anybody has had of Billy over the last 5 years is that his team shoots too many threes. And you know what I loved in the Duquesne game and tonight? Down by one. How many times do you watch college games where a team's down by one and still takes a three?
Yep.
And you're like, why are you doing that? In both, like, a three is a long rebound. A three is a long rebound. Like, against Duquesne, Lynn getting into the paint, driving that shot, like, the ball was right there, soft for Cam. Tonight, Lynn again drove. It's like a close rebound. It's an much easier put back. So, like, for the criticism about this team shooting too many threes, two straight games, you attack the basket, you let yourself get fouled, or you give yourself a better chance at a rebound. You're not taking a contested step back three with like 2 seconds left on the clock. So, I mean, props to the staff for that. Like, I think that what we almost forget, but a lot of teams in these spots are taking threes when you don't need threes. And both games, I thought, yep, get Lynn going to the basket, and he did a great job. And one led to a Cam bucket, and the other was him.
Yep.
Yeah. Absolutely. And we shot 47% from the field from three, so it's like best of both worlds.
Mm-hmm.
So I know we're a game by game team, but I think it's interesting to mention while we're at it and just thinking about it, because people think about it nowadays. To end with a fourth seed, which would give us the double bye, you need 10 wins. So that's the marker as of today, 10 wins for the double bye, the fourth seed, to be tied at that fourth seed. I don't know what they do for tiebreakers as far as like A-10 records, but right. 10 wins. That's the double bye.
In conference play, right? So we're at three now. We have to win 7 more of the 12, pretty much.
Yep, you need to win 7 more. 9 wins gets you a fifth seed, which gets you potentially a fifth seed, which would get you Davidson or Fordham as of today.
Okay. I mean, we got Dayton that's going to be the one. And after that, it's kind of like a mess, right? Like, yeah. Loyola, what, 4-2 now?
Yeah.
I think.
Loyola, I don't have everything in front of me, but I got to
pull it. Yeah. So Loyola is 5-1. Really great start for Drew Valentine.
Okay. So, like, let's say hypothetically, Pete, that those two are your top two.
Yeah.
But then you've got a ton of teams battling for the third and fourth. And, like, again, 3-3 now. Can you go 7-5 the rest of the way? I don't know. Winning at Bonaventure would be massive, though. I mean, talk about, like, if you want to really prove to yourselves and your fans that this year is turned around and that this year is different. I mean, St. Joe's never wins at Bonaventure. So, like, if you can go out there on a Friday night nationally televised game and win that game, that's when I think you really can say, all right, we turned a corner. And, man, talk about – I was excited to see Josh Cohen and Kreese tonight, and that kind of disappointed. I didn't think either guy was great. I don't know what you guys thought of Cohen.
So what the matchup for me that was fun was the Jalen Curry Brown matchup.
That was really fun.
Yeah.
But, I mean, talk about a matchup that you don't want to step in between Friday night between Chad Venning and Kreese. That's about 600 pounds worth of people getting thrown around, but that'll be fun. You want to get to 7-5 the rest of the way. Winning Friday is big.
Winning Friday is big.
Absolutely. I think that, Pete, I think that would wrap it about up. We're kind of close to the time that we said we would do. Matt, I know you don't have too much time tonight, so we'll kind of put it on a nice little bow here since we've got all three on the call. I guess final thoughts. Matt, you go first, and then Pete, give us your final thoughts. Big takeaway. I know we've talked a lot, but sum it up. One simple sentence, maybe two, and we'll close out.
Yeah, my quick simple sentence to close out would be that St. Joe should have the best player on the court every game they play in, for the most part. And if he does what he does tonight, then St. Joe should win a lot of games. Like, if Eric is Eric, this team can beat anybody, including Dayton. And he was tonight. He was a superstar.
Love it. Pete?
Beat the Bonnies. It's day by day. Thanks a lot, Matt, for coming on. This is great.
It was fun.
Yeah. Appreciate it.
Okay.
Thank you, guys.
Yep. I'll close it out, Pete. Go ahead. I was going to say my final line, and then we'll close it out.
Yeah, you got it, man.
Sorry.
You got it.
You got one.
I think I'm going to have to go Casper gets more minutes and proves Pete wrong, because Pete had a fiery take. Bring Casper in slowly. Let's see the boy play, just so Pete can eat, you know what. Make him look terrible.
Yeah, make it happen, Casper. I mean, you're kind of trash from three, but,
Gosh. Okay, now you can close it out. Close it out, Pete, saying stuff like that.
Hey, I need Casper to go to the basket. He's just he's a good slasher. He gets it done when he slashes into the basket. Facilitate, all right? Do what you're capable of, is what I would say. Matt, you're not roped into that at all. That's all me.
I'm staying.
Yeah, for the better. All right, everyone. Have a good night. And as always, the hawk will never die.